to The Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Anyway, welcome to episode three.
Three, yes.
It is episode three.
Of our doula
dispensary.
I keep saying the wrong thing, don't I?
It's
doula
depository. Depositories, you keep saying, yes.
Oh, dear.
It's our dispensary and it's our weekly
dose. No, our weekly prescription.
That's it.
Of all things doula.
We'll get it one day. We will.
We're getting there. We're getting better, I think.
I hope so.
How's your week been, Siobhan?
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I've had a lovely little baby born.
Ooh.
Not me, obviously.
Okay.
I have been doing some uni visits with my son.
Oh, wow.
And, some postnatal work. So, yeah, busy.
That sounds like it.
What about you?
I have mainly been doing my accounts.
Oh, how?
Oh. Yeah, exactly. And I'm very, very bad. I'm not going to be this bad in this year of keeping a record and keep... It's not that I just don't do it often enough. So then I sit down at the end of the year and literally have a carrier bag full of receipts.
Is this your end of year now?
No, it's... Well,
are you 31st of January?
Yes.
See, you're putting the rest of us to shame.
No, I'm sure lots of people have them all tied up and ready to go end of April.
You know when I do mine?
No.
The 29th of January.
Oh, for God's sake. I need to hire someone. Do you do them or do you have someone do them?
I have someone.
Oh, there you go.
I have staff. I don't. I have a fantastic accountant who has been my accountant for... 27 years.
Oh, wow. I might have to...
And he says the day I walk in to see him,
yeah,
before the 29th of January, he'll, yeah, probably have a heart attack.
I need to look into a few things this
He's
year.
He's great. It's their job, isn't it? They save you money where you didn't know you could save,
yeah,
money. I mean, he kind of laughed at me when I asked if I could put my rather expensive gym membership through as expenses.
Yes, why not?
You can't. You're not allowed to.
Coaching.
Yeah, maybe I should name it something else. Anyway, we better stop because, yes, somebody from the Inland Review might be listening.
Yes, let's not. I'm sure there's a way around it. University. Oh, wow. I remember when there's going to be a lot of parents taking their children to university,
yeah,
this week
end
and next
of this
week.
Month. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I remember well when we took Lucy off to university and that feeling. So I can empathise with all the parents, yeah, who will be dropping their kids off. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I think I will, when it happens, next year for me, when he goes. So depending on where he goes.
Yeah.
I think I will probably cry the entire car journey up there.
All the way home. That's what
all
we
the way
did.
Home,
Two
yeah.
and a half hours crying. Yeah. Especially my, yeah, other daughter was in bits. And then every time you go to open your cupboard door and you see... their cup.
Oh no,
I know.
Stop it.
And then when you go shopping and you know you buy special things for them and you're like,
oh no,
I know.
Don't do that, you're breaking my heart.
I know.
Already. My husband keeps winding him up, telling him we're going to hire his room out while, yeah, he's gone.
How does that go down?
He actually thought he was being serious. But yeah, it's difficult. So we've been looking at unis that are all, they're about sort of, most of them have been about 2-hour drive.
Okay.
So I've been winding him up saying, oh, I can pop in for lunch, yeah, every day. I don't mind a 4-hour round trip. So now he's talking about going to have a look at St. Andrews.
Yes, of course.
And Durham. And
as far away as he can get.
As far away as possible, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a new chapter.
I know.
A new chapter in your mummy life.
Yes, yeah.
So I guess we should get cracking with the
program. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so now it's time for our doula dilemma.
The doula dilemma of the week.
The doula dilemma of the week. So this week we have had this one sent in. When the doula arrives with her clients at the hospital, the midwife assigned to them does not look at the doula or acknowledge that the doula is there. When the doula suggests something, the midwife dismisses it and tells the client, "Not sure why you've hired a doula. We provide all the services they do, but you don't have to pay extra."
That's quite a dilemma. It's quite a dilemma. And to be fair, it doesn't happen all that often, but when it does, it can be really, really challenging for the doula to know how to handle that.
Have you had that happen to you?
I haven't had that specific incident. I have had sometimes midwives are unsure of what our role is, and I think it's important to make that clear to them when you meet with them. They're working under really stressful conditions. I think they often feel undervalued, and it can be a very lonely job, just like being a doula. So I've had midwives that might not have acknowledged me initially, and then I obviously tried to befriend them, and by the end of it, we have usually been a really good team, worked as a really good team. And I've also had, I've had once when I asked, and this is back in the day when you actually had CDs you were playing on CD players.
Showing your age, or how long you've been doing it. How long I've been doing.
Yes, and I asked for a CD player, and the midwife said, and it was a bit of an in jest, she said, "Oh, can't you chant?" And I said,
"Okay."
I said, "Yes, I can chant, but I don't think my client wants that. She'd like to listen to her CD." And
can you imagine if they'd said that to me?
Oh, yeah, no.
It'd be a very different chant coming out of my mouth. It would have been.
And once, yes, after the birth, they kind of joked the midwives and said, "Oh, I assume you're taking the placenta home to eat it," to me.
Oh, God, okay.
So those kind of things. But in this situation, have you been in a similar situation? Have you actually?
Yeah, I've had, there is one particular hospital that springs to mind that, I know they've had a couple of issues, mm-hmm. with doulas there. So there is that, they're a little bit kind of, there is that kind of barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they realise that that's not where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. I'm there to be part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Usually within half an hour, they've been absolutely fine. But yeah, a little bit frosty at first.
Yeah.
But then they soon chill out and mellow out. With my Irish charm.
Yeah, well, then maybe it's my Swedish charm.
It might well be a Swedish charm.
I don't look. It helps being blonde, I think, sometimes.
You reckon? You can,
yes, because I can say, "Oh, what does this machine do?"
yeah, the playing dumb.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. This is very interesting. I didn't know that did that. I mean, this it's hard not to take it personally and get a bit upset by this.
Mm.
And I think the biggest thing to do, which I tend to do, is just smile a lot and do little things so they can see that you are actually quite helpful to them too, to the midwife. So for example, you might want to get some tissue paper ready for when they use the Doppler, you know, they listen in, or they might be using the CTG monitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put the gel on, put it on the mum's belly, and then afterwards they need something to wipe that gel off because they just do it intermittently. That can be really helpful. Have you got any other suggestions?
Yeah, that's it. It's all about working as part of a team.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? So I remember a long time ago somebody saying, a midwife saying, "You're a what? You know, what's the doula?" And I sort of said to her, "How long have you been a midwife?" And she'd been a midwife a good 30 odd years.
Yeah.
And I was really shocked. But she didn't know.
Yes.
How do you go 30 years as a midwife and never have at least have heard of what a doula is?
Yeah.
Which I found quite odd.
Yeah.
But then I've worked with other midwives. One midwife who did she did a paper on it when she was a student midwife.
Oh, excellent.
So and in fact, just at the weekend, I worked with. We had two shift changes.
Oh.
And they were just gorgeous.
Yeah.
They were just so lovely, the midwives.
Yeah.
Really lovely. I think most midwives do appreciate having
absolutely
that extra person in the room. And knowing that if they have to pop out, they know that
yeah
at least, you know, the woman is with, you know, the couple are with somebody.
Yeah.
I think most generally are pretty good. I have heard, I mean, what was it said at the end of the dilemma here? Why would you pay for a doula? Yes. I've heard clients come back and say that that's been said to them in their antenatal sessions when they've mentioned they've hired a doula.
Yeah.
And the midwife has said to them, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why do you need to do that?
Yeah.
But not actually while I've been in the room. I've never heard that said.
I think it's the thing we should be doing is always putting the woman or the birthing person in the centre of our care. That is the person that's most important. And if everyone around...
Well, that's what should be actually gelling and uniting the doulas, the midwives, the doctors, is that we're all putting that woman first and foremost.
Yeah.
And if we're all doing that, then everyone should be getting along.
Exactly. We don't need to claim this is the part that I do and that's the part that you do, which is very clearly a doula doesn't do any of the medical stuff. That's all for the midwife to do.
Absolutely.
And yes, the midwife does provide some emotional and practical support too. But we have met with this woman. We got or the couple. We have a relationship with them.
Yeah. We know their preferences.
Exactly. Yeah. So we can be really helpful. That's what I'm saying. To midwives too, because sometimes the only person that the birthing person can hear or the woman can hear is the doula.
Absolutely. I think it works both ways. I mean, we're there to sort of help advocate for our clients if need be, you know, to sort of help express their preferences and to remind them to question when perhaps something's being suggested that they didn't particularly want, you know, just to ask those questions. But at the same time, when the healthcare professional is suggesting something and they tell them, it may not be in the most user-friendly language.
No.
So we can sometimes decipher that for them and say, okay, so did you understand that?
Yeah.
This is the reason why they're wanting to do what they're wanting to do.
Yes.
So it can work both ways.
Absolutely. We're definitely not there, which I think some midwives feel and maybe have been told by other midwives that doulas prevent the midwife to talk to their patient, which they would call them, the birthing, the woman, or that we somehow are there to prevent things from happening.
Mm.
And maybe some doulas think that's their role too, which clearly it's not.
No.
And it's when you hear stories like doulas locking midwives out of a home birth, for example, talking to the midwives through the letterbox.
Oh, wow.
And saying, can you wait in the car and we'll call you when we need you.
Really?
I mean, that is absolutely not acceptable.
No.
At all. If you are going to call a midwife, you obviously let the midwife come in to see the woman in labour, or you don't call the midwife.
Yeah, I think we have to be... It's about everybody being respectful of everyone's roles.
Exactly.
I mean, the midwives are there, you know, and they have a duty of care, you know, to ensure the safety of the woman and her baby.
Yes.
You know, we're there for emotional and practical support, but we don't have the responsibility of the person's life in our hands. So we have to show that respect. But yeah, I think sometimes... Yeah, I think maybe some healthcare professionals might see doulas as perhaps the reason why we are around and that we have a job is perhaps because of some of the things that do happen within the health service. So they might see us as almost holding a mirror up to the problems within the maternity services.
Very true.
But we're there to help... you know, sort of facilitate that to be a smoother journey for everybody.
We want everyone to have a positive experience.
Yes.
And that's it, to come out the other end feeling good about the birth, whatever that was.
Yeah, there's definitely, and I think there really is definitely a cliche that doulas are only there if you want to have, you know, a complete hands-off physiological birth with no intervention.
Yeah, and no drugs.
And no drugs at all. I mean, I've been in a room where obstetricians are even trying to sort of, they're almost justifying why they've suggested what they've suggested.
Yes, same here.
You know, it's great. They should be explaining what the reasoning is, but I think to myself, oh, you know, you don't need to.
It's like trying to convince.
Trying to convince. Yeah, exactly. Almost looking like, at me trying to convince. And I'm like, well, you don't need to be doing that.
I recognise that. Yeah. It's just, you know, we're at this point now where this needs to happen as long as my client understands.
Then that's the right thing to do.
Exactly. So I think that, I think it's.
There's a lot of work, I think, that needs to be done. I don't know if building bridges is the right word, because I can honestly say I've never had, you know, a terrible, you know, situation where it's been real awful the whole, you know.
I've never had that. No.
But there clearly is some.
I think it's the stories, isn't it? The stories about the doula that did this, that the doula did that. And then that's like the myths of doulas in the system. And then when people meet a doula or midwife or doctor meets a doula for the first time, they have that idea. That's what they're expecting. So I do think it's worth, though, for the fact is that doulas are research based. You know, we know doulas make a difference. It's scientific.
Mm.
So what I'd love to see happen more are for midwives and other healthcare professionals to mention doulas as part of a complementary service to the women they meet in the system, because they might possibly mention hypnobirthing. They might well talk about acupuncture or reflexology.
Absolutely.
They might well talk about other, you know, complementary therapies. But it's very rare.
Very rare that
doulas
mentioned.
Are mentioned. Yeah. And I think that's a real shame.
It is a shame.
Because we want women to make choices for themselves. It doesn't mean just because you mention or there are doulas there, doesn't mean every woman's going to go and book a doula. It's not for everyone. So
I do think that there is absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head, that we are kind of seen as the poor relatives of the maternity services, aren't we?
Yeah.
We are that kind of like that person you didn't want to have to invite to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
You know, oh God, it's them again.
Yeah. Yes. You know,
whenever there's a conference or somebody's advertising a conference, the conference will be all healthcare professionals talking about birth and about supporting women.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no mention of doulas, no doulas been asked to talk.
No.
And even when they're advertising, you know, sort of workshops. I mean, I saw a workshop advertised very specific to a particular sort of to quite medical things that happen within birth.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, this is suitable for healthcare professionals, antenatal teachers and hypnobirthing instructors.
Yeah.
Where antenatal teachers and hypnobirthing instructors came into it, I have no idea, based on the topics that were being covered.
Yeah.
There was absolutely no mention of doulas at all.
So we definitely have more work to do, I would say. And in a situation like this, where the doula dilemma we have this week, I think it's just keep being the doula you are, basically. We just have to keep smiling, keep smiling.
keep shining.
But also make sure you're there to represent, you're there to support your client and that couple. So that is your focus. So try and kind of, you know, the story, the fable about the northern wind and the sun.
No.
They had a competition. There was a man walking down a path, and the northern wind said to the sun, come on, let's have a competition, see if we can blow the man's coats off his back. And the sun said, yeah, all right then. And the northern wind said, I'll start. And the northern wind was blowing and blowing his hard, cold wind. And the man just held onto his coat tighter and tighter. And in the end, the northern wind gave up. And the sun said, oh, is it my turn now? And the sun just shone her warm, warm light. And what happened? The man took his coat off. So the moral of the story, you don't have to be the northern wind. You can
just
be the sun.
All our healthcare professionals to strip off.
not quite.
No.
So hopefully that helps has given you some food for thought.
Be your good old sunny self.
Yes, keep sunning. Keep smiling.
So that's our dilemma for this week.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Right, so now it's time for question time. So let's have a listen to today's question.
It's Anna here of Anna's Birth Services in New Zealand. My question is, what tips do you have for staying calm and relaxed and patient when you're on call? Thanks. Bye.
So,
wow, we got a question from New Zealand.
All the way from the other side of the
Kia
world.
Kia ora.
Yes, so what do you do?
You've just been on call. I haven't been on call for a long time, and I'm very grateful for that because I find being on call the hardest part.
Okay.
I found it easy for the first 16 years.
It gets easier after, and it gets harder after 16 years.
I'm not joking.
Right, yeah.
All of a sudden, I just had this like, oh, yeah. Anyway, listen, what do you do to stay calm? Because do you remember your first on call?
I do remember my first on call. My first ever on call was only 24 hours. I was covering for you.
Yes, for my 40th birthday.
That was my first ever on call. And I remember I was so excited. And then when that bloody phone rang, I honestly thought Jeremy Beadle's going to jump out from somewhere because this is a joke.
Yes.
Because she wasn't even in June.
No, I know.
But to be honest, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Okay.
Because it was a baptism of fire. I didn't even have time. Not for a split second did I think I would be called out in those 24
neither
hours.
Neither did I.
Was it took me nearly 10 minutes to convince you the next day that she'd had the baby. Yeah, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I did not have time to sit and think and dwell and come up with 101 different reasons why it's going to be just terrible.
Yes.
I just did it.
Oh, wow. You're welcome.
Thanks. But yeah, so now I spend my life on call.
Yes, what do you do to keep calm?
I don't think about it.
No.
I don't. I can honestly, hand on heart, I do not give it a second thought.
I am like that up until the due date. So when the due date comes and goes, as it does most of the time, that's when I start thinking about being on call. I don't really think about it before. I don't think I'm on call until then. And if I'm a week into, like, past the due date, then I'll kind of think, no, it's going to probably happen soon.
Okay, so I get that feeling.
Yeah.
When they're about 12 days overdue.
The pro, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I suddenly think, this baby's going to come in the next 2 days or 3 days.
Because I know it's really, really challenging for when you're a new doula. I remember that well myself. And I often hear doula say, oh yeah, I text every morning. I text my client every morning to see if anything's happening.
Oh, I don't like joining in on that because they're getting phone calls from all their family and friends.
I don't think that is really what you need to do. Okay, no. Who are you doing that for? Is that actually to help her?
No.
Or is that to help yourself manage your own anxiety or stress or day?
Yeah.
I think we do not need to text every morning. So
thing I do is I do let, because you know I swim in a lake.
Yes.
So when I swim in a lake, I'm out there for over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I do leave my phone with one of the safety kayakers.
Okay.
But it can sometimes take him 20 minutes to get to the other end of the lake.
Yes.
But I do, so I do warn them, you know, like, just to let you know, I'm swimming.
Yeah.
And, you know, I probably won't be answering my phone for an hour.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. You know, if I'm doing something like, if I'm somewhere where I know I'm not going to be able to talk, I'll say, look, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'll be out in an hour's time.
And I think that's something that you should do.
Yeah.
Just to the thing is, it's very unlikely that they're going to need you immediately.
Yeah.
And yes, it can be stressful if you go somewhere there's no reception on your phone or you're in the cinema watching a film. Just, you know, I think it's worth letting your clients know if it's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, you're not just going to worry them if you text them every day saying, look, I'm now...
No.
You know, sometimes it will be fine. They can leave a message. They're not going to necessarily need you immediately. And you say, well, I'm on call. I usually say, look, if I don't answer the phone, I will call you back within the next 5 minutes.
I only give them, that week. Mm. This is, you know, here's a couple of days.
Yeah.
And this is roughly the times where, you know, it might take me a little bit longer.
Yeah.
To get back to you. So, you know, if I was, let's say, for example, I don't know, I was going on a study day or something and I knew that I was going to be perhaps away. A little bit further away from them than I'd normally be.
Yeah.
I would say to them, just to let you know, give you a heads up,
yeah,
that I'm going here.
Yeah.
It might take me a little bit longer to get back. So if you think anything's happening, yeah, just give me a bit more notice than, yeah, you might do otherwise.
Yeah. So to answer the question, Anna, I think you get more and more used to being on call the more you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also I like to think that what's going to be is going to be anyway. I try to think like that. You can, yeah, be like...
What will be, will,
exactly,
be.
Exactly. What will be, will be.
Que sera, sera.
That's a very good one. And if you think like that, then if you can convince yourself and really feel that,
mm,
you don't feel less stressed because it's going to work out fine. Either you're, mm, going to be there or you're not going to be, yeah, there. And you could be sitting up, checking your phone 100 times per
Make
night.
Make yourself sick.
Yeah, exactly that. And what is the worst that's going to happen? That's another way to look at it. What's the worst that's going to happen? You miss the birth.
Yeah.
Okay, so you
She's
might
still
need
going to give birth.
Exactly. You might need to give some of the money back. You will. It will be a reason why that happened. Maybe she, you know, sometimes... She might have gone in and had an emergency cesarean. She felt unwell, went in, and everyone missed it, even her partner.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about that. Or it could be the case that, you know, you weren't on call yet, and she tried to phone you, and you didn't have the phone on because it was 3 weeks before a due date, and you missed it. That's happened to me.
I think for me, I don't ever get stressed out about being on call.
No.
What I get stressed out about is the very few times a year that I'm not on call.
Okay.
I find it really alien to have my phone stuck to me.
Okay.
That gives me anxiety.
Because then you think, where's my phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not on call.
So yeah. No. Okay. But it doesn't sit well with me.
I think the important thing though is like what you're doing, what I try and do is just carry on your normal life.
I don't think I could do this job if I was that, you know, the adrenaline was that high because I was on call. Because I am on call.
Yeah.
All year round.
For more than one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't handle that level of anxiety constantly. I just think, you know, that call will come when the call comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, all the normal things you might want to do to stay calm, meditation, relaxation.
But all of that is still, you're doing that because you're on call.
Yeah.
Just forget about it.
Yeah.
As long as your phone's on, you know, it's charged.
Yeah.
You've got signal.
Yeah.
That's it. Crack on with your day.
And que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera. I thought you were going to say kiss her ass. Que sera, sera.
Que sera, sera. It's actually French. Que sera,
yeah,
sera.
You sound like you're saying que sera.
That's my French accent.
Anyway,
I think we can leave that there. Hopefully that helps.
Don't worry. Thank Be you. Happy.
Good luck. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
So, now it's time for this week's doula dose.
Dose of doula. The different voices of Siobhan Smith.
That could be a podcast.
Oh.
How many accents can you do?
I can only do a Swedish accent.
That is your accent.
I don't sound like this all the time, do
yeah,
I?
You do.
I can do Swedish.
Can you do Irish?
Top of the morning to you.
Oh,
is that good?
Yeah, it's great.
I can do American a little bit.
I love it.
I can speak English with the French accent.
Oh, very
I can
nice.
Do that. Yes.
Oh, we're going off topic.
Yeah, no. Sorry. What's the doula dose?
The doula dose this week is doula bags.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
There's been a little discussion, I think, on our little Birth Bliss doula Facebook page, I think, about bags.
Has there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I'm dreaming.
So bags, yes, they come in all shapes and sizes.
Well, what I gather is that it's very good to have a doula bag with lots of pockets and compartments.
Pockets and compartments.
Yes.
For all your little bits and bobs.
For your doses.
Yes.
And equipment.
Equipment.
Food.
Food,
yeah,
essential.
So what would you put in your doula bag then, Siobhan, nowadays after 100 and odd births?
Keys and phone.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. But when you start out as a doula, you need a doula bag. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to. You cannot
survive. You have a massive trunk with wheels.
Yes. But Yeah, we shouldn't laugh because we've both been there with the big trunk on wheels. Because you do, you feel like, oh, I can't just turn up with just me.
It's kind of like a safety blanket, isn't it?
It is, 100%.
Yeah.
So I would pack a flannel, some nice aromatherapy oils, even maybe a diffuser, one of those electric ones you plug in. You can plug things in now at the hospitals.
Yes.
It used to be the case of it needs to be tested by our electrician.
It has to be pat tested.
Yeah.
Doesn't anymore.
No, because everyone plugs their chargers in. So they've given up with that one. What else would you have? Some combs.
Yes. What else would be in a doula
bag? The combs are for clasping in your hand.
Yeah, you might have a water spray. What else? What other things did you used to have in your bag?
Have food, a rescue remedy for yourself, maybe, or some other kind of...
honey sticks.
Yeah.
And,
A torch.
A torch.
And
a mirror.
Mirror, very handy as well, especially in a home birth. But most of the time you can tell your clients beforehand about that.
Food, we said that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Change of underwear.
Yeah, it might be nice to have a little
wash bag.
Wash bag, yes. Toothbrush, definitely. Yeah. Toothpaste.
Yeah. I do still have a bag.
Yes.
It just doesn't have as much in it now.
So. I know, and it tends to just, you take it and put it there.
Yeah, it doesn't, very rarely. I mean, I at the weekend when I... went to the, and I opened it up, there was this half-eaten
nice
energy bar in there from the last, I do carry my oils.
Yeah, what about homeopathy kit?
I still have that in there, but I don't really...
I've run out of the most important one.
Oh, pulsatilla.
Well, not pulsatilla. I can't think of it.
Arnica?
Arnica, yeah.
I'm out of afterwards.
I need arnica.
Did you ever read that booklet? Literally, pulsatilla is the answer to
everything. Yeah, I know. Pulsatilla, weepiness, pulsatilla. Yeah.
It's for everything. Everything aconite. I've ever looked up. Yeah, aconite's another one.
Yeah. So, colophyllum.
Colophyllum. Try saying that after you've been awake 24 hours. Colophyllum.
I think those are a few things that you could.
Yeah, I do have my oils in my bag. I have my little small diffuser, which I noticed at the weekend's now bloody leaking, which is really annoying. I have that. What else do I have in there? I have some snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to have snacks.
What snacks do you pack? Bounce balls?
No, I just do like nuts and chopped up nuts and dried fruit. Look, at the end of the day, I'd much rather have a Snickers in there or a Mars bar.
Yeah.
But everyone's so into all this healthy stuff. I thought I better have nuts and seeds.
But slow releasing energy foods are a bit better than your old. I mean, I have a can of Coke usually at the end after the birth before I drive home. Coke is like...
I'm like a carb monster after a birth. Yes. I literally hoover up any carbohydrate anywhere in
you
sight.
You need that.
But I do have I have my makeup in there, essential, because there's nothing worse than somebody having to look at me 24 hours into a birth. And also, if the parents want a photo or something with...
Yes.
I'm like, oh, God, no, please.
I need to put my makeup on first.
Aren't
you good?
So no. I prioritise myself.
I stay out of the photos. But basically, if you have some other ideas of what you have in your doula bag or would like to send in some... suggestions, please.
I mean, so what I tend to
can
do.
Can I just finish?
I was just going to say,
email us.
Oh, email.
On the doula dispensary at gmail.com with your suggestions and ideas for what to put in your doula bag. Yes, Siobhan.
No, I was just, that a lot of the stuff that you mentioned about the flannel. And
yes.
I put all that in a list for them to pack in their bag.
Okay, that's a good idea too.
So I don't. I know a lot of doulas bring stuff for their clients.
Yeah,
but I don't. I tell them to pack that in their own bag.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea, and get them to pack food for you too. I do that
for you.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't get them to pack my food.
No, I said
because there's usually cheese involved.
Oh yeah,
which I just know.
Oh well, let's leave that one there then. This week's dose of doula.
Dose of doula.
So Siobhan, this week we've had a few little happenings in the world of babies and doulas and breastfeeding and birth. Did I go on a bit there?
Pearls of wisdom come up.
Yes. Did you know, I'm sure you've heard this, with the Lullaby Trust changing their guidelines on sleep.
On safe Co-sleeping.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I knew about that.
So one of the things I think that lots of parents probably be quite surprised by is that it's not recommended anymore to use those pods, sleeping pods.
Yeah, the sleepy heads. That's not going to go down too well with many parents.
No, I mean, what do you know the reason why they stopped using them?
Because they don't want, in case the baby rolls into it and...
And I guess again, overheating those too, because they're so encased. They're like...
I mean, you know, working postnatally, I see them used a lot.
Yeah, I know. I have worked with couples that have, they are co-sleeping. So the baby's in the bed with them in a sleepy head.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because they do seem to like it, the babies.
Yeah,
because it's kind of...
Yeah, it's like being back in the tummy.
Yeah, or being held, I suppose. It's, you know, it's not as exposed as a flat, big mattress.
So when you work as a postnatal doula or a birth doula and you come across one of these, it's quite tricky, isn't it?
It is, because the last thing you want to do is tell somebody, don't do that, it's, you know, unless it's... I don't know. It's tricky.
I still think you never have to say, oh, you shouldn't be doing
that. No, absolutely not.
I think you can word it much kinder.
I mean, there will always be questions about sleep. They will always ask you questions about their baby's sleep or how to settle their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you give them some information, but I always direct them to the Lullaby Trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing that, I'm sure they will see the mm-hmm. recommendations.
Yeah.
But, you know, what still amazes me is the amount of health visitors that still tell parents that co-sleeping is dangerous and shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
So that's often when I will refer them to the Lullaby Trust for the latest guidelines to say, actually...
Bed sharing is...
There is safe ways of co-sleeping and you'll find the information mm-hmm. on the Lullaby Trust.
Because they have updated, actually, a few months ago to say sharing a bed with your baby as long as... You're not smoking, or drinking, or have a hard mattress, you don't have a duvet, all those kind of things are just as good as having the baby in a cot.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby should definitely be in your room with you for the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that it's tricky, but you can always say, I think I read somewhere that they've changed the some of the guidelines now on the sleepy heads and then direct them to the Lullaby Trust website, like
I mean, you know, the thing is, places like John Lewis, mm-hmm. Amazon, they all still sell them.
Yeah.
So, you know, and rightly so, a parent is going to assume that if something is dangerous...
Yeah, it's not going
to
be...
Then it's not going to be widely available to buy in the UK.
So often I hear that. So, you know, parents say, well, you wouldn't be able to buy it if it was dangerous. Or, well, yeah, there's lots of those things.
So things need to match up.
Yeah.
You know, if it is the case that they're not recommended, mm-hmm. then shouldn't they be taken off the market?
Exactly.
Because it's conflicting and it's giving parents conflicting ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been told to put a little sticker on there to say it's not recommended. The baby should not be left unsupervised or whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take...
But unsupervised could be interpreted as just not in a room on their own.
Exactly.
As in, you know, not in a nursery.
Yeah, I agree.
If they're sleeping with you in your room, then they're perfectly safe in it. So it could be interpreted that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we leave that little nugget there?
Yeah.
I think so. We'll bring another little...
A nugget of wisdom or information that's come about next week. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. So we've reached the end of our third podcast.
Yes, we did it. We have now recorded three.
Three of them.
And
hopefully we've still got some listeners.
Oh, well, it looks like we have listeners. I can see that we have quite a few actually joining in listening to us, which is great. We're very grateful for our listeners.
Absolutely.
And do share the podcast with your doula colleagues.
And please do subscribe as well.
Yes.
You can subscribe, which means it will be there for you every week, ready... birthed into your inbox, ready for you to listen to.
And we would absolutely love to hear from you with any stories, any questions, anything at all doula related or not doula related, anything to do with being a mum, being a woman, being a wife,
a sister,
absolutely
anything at all. Yeah.
And you can email us on thedoulaDispensary@gmail.com.
So what are you up to this week?
Well, I am going to be in London to teach a doula course. Doula right. training course from Monday till Thursday, yes. So
fantastic.
Yes. Fully booked. Yeah, got 12 ooh. Aspiring doulas coming fantastic. To do the course. And I even have a waiting list this time. I often do when I go to London. So it's very exciting. I love doing the teaching. Just spending time in a group, it's 13 of us with me, and just learning from each other and sharing our stories. And I absolutely love it.
Do you find there's more and more call for doula courses?
I found this last year, I've had every, more or less every course has been fully booked wherever I'm going. So yeah, I'm really pleased. If you think there's around 800,000 births every year in the UK, I definitely think there's a lack of doulas in a lot of areas, but also lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
So we need to be a little bit more vocal about what we do and proud of what we do and you know, advertise ourselves better.
Absolutely.
So what about you? What are you doing, Siobhan?
I'm going to finish watching the last episode of Kathy Burke's All Women.
Oh, you were saying about that. Is it good?
I need to watch this. As if I couldn't love that woman anymore.
Okay.
She's amazing. Yeah. Right. It's a really good, it's only 3 episodes, which is so sad. So that's why I've been kind of saving the last one.
Okay.
Because it's come to an end. But she's just brilliant. She's just been exploring all different aspects of being a woman, you know, as in being a wife or a mother or a sister or, you know, a single woman. She's just exploring all different avenues.
Okay.
And she's hilarious. She's so funny.
And where is this? Where can you watch this?
I believe it was either Channel 4 or BBC.
All right. So you're watching on Catch Up.
So if you just put in, I've recorded them.
Yeah.
So if you just put in Kathy Burke's All Women.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was probably Channel 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will come up. But yeah, 3 episodes and absolutely worth
okay.
watching. But I'm off call now.
Woo-hoo!
I'm off call for a whole 2 weeks.
Oh, excellent.
So I intend to have a large drink.
All right, what, every night?
Yeah, why not?
That's not good. Not good for your health.
And may not stop at 1.
All right, well, maybe we should arrange to go for a drink then.
Maybe we should do a podcast after a little session.
What? Do you think that's a good idea?
Session.
There might be lots of different accents.
There'd probably be lots of accents, bit of singing. Yeah.
The Irish like to sing when they're drunk, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and the Swedish like to play the piano.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, we'll have you on the keyboard. And
yeah, we can
singing.
Do a few The Greatest Showman songs.
Absolutely. I'm sure our listeners would love that.
Well, I guess we have nothing more to add this week.
No, that's it. We're done for another week.
So,
we will.
See you next Thursday. Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein.